It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Stanton in for Ben Kiefer. It's a News Buzz edition of the program today. Usually on Fridays, we have a half dozen or so news items, topics, information that we didn't get to otherwise throughout the week. You want to stay close to your radio for the second half of the program. Comedian Paula Poundstone will join us to start off the second half and quite a number of other interesting topics. Well, the World Cup is in day two of the month-long tournament in Brazil. The U.S. team will face Ghana on Monday. And here with a preview is Tanya Keith from Des Moines, who has spent the last two decades following the World Cup. In her time following American soccer, she's been a referee, a coach, player, supporter, and I guess soccer mom.
So, hi, how are you?
Hi, Tanya Keith, thank you so much. And I wanted to mention that your new book is called Passionate Soccer Love. So thank you for being on the program.
Thanks for having me.
Why do you love soccer?
I got into watching soccer in the early mid-90s. My husband was referee for U.S. soccer, and I was going to a lot of different games. And I had kind of been a casual fan growing up in New Jersey. There was a lot of Italian immigrants in my hometown, and they would have we'd go walk up to Mr. Dino's for pizza for lunch, and they would have the games on, and they'd be so passionate about it. And then when my husband was, when he was my boyfriend, he was watching a lot of games, and I thought, okay, I can either ignore this or I can just see what it's all about. And fortunately, in 1993, we had the opportunity to go to see the U.S. play Germany, and I had lived in Germany for a summer, so that was kind of my thing, like, oh, it's German, I'll go and hang out. Like, it doesn't need to be American soccer. And in that game, the U.S. men's national team scored three goals against Germany, which was unheard of. Of course, Germany scored four goals against us, so the result was a loss. But for me, it was the transition from being a European soccer fan to paying attention to what was happening in American soccer.
So that's when you started the soccer bug.
That's when it all started.
So that was in the 90s?
Yep, in 93, and then we went to the games in 94, when the World Cup was hosted by the U.S., and just seeing the World Cup in person, you wouldn't question my addiction to soccer if you'd seen a World Cup in person. It's just this incredible coming together of all these cultures from all over the world, and then it's the best soccer that you can see anywhere, and just to experience it firsthand, I never wanted to miss another World Cup again, and I haven't, so...
And you won't again this year.
Yeah, we're actually leaving today to head down to Brazil to follow the U.S. soccer through Brazil this time.
What is the atmosphere like in a city that's hosting the World Cup?
It's not like it's here in the U.S. It's funny for me because I'm usually in the World Cup country when the World Cup kicks off, so it was very funny for me to be here in Des Moines yesterday for the kickoff when we had some good atmosphere down at Hessen House with everything Spanish, and the American Outlaws here in Des Moines make a great atmosphere. But when you go to a World Cup, it takes over the entire city. It's every cafe has a TV out. Like if the game is on, everything stops and people just kind of gather around television sets, or they go to fan centers and they watch on huge big screen TVs. Everybody has on their country's colors and crazy outfits, and it's a month-long party.
So kind of going back to the growth of soccer over many years and since the 90s when you first really became a fan, it does seem like over the past few decades it's grown in popularity in the U.S. Do you attribute that to anything in particular?
I think it's kind of a collection of things. It's been interesting. That's one of the themes of my book is watching the rise of soccer culture in America, which has been a great pleasure to see. I think 1994, a lot of the people that are traveling to Brazil this time were brought as kids to the 1994 World Cup by their parents, who maybe were immigrants, maybe just had an opportunity to go to the game. But I think that was a kind of gateway drug for a lot of people to get into soccer. And then 1999, when the Women's World Cup was here and our ladies won it, that was a huge shot in the arm for soccer. I think that, for Americans, we like to win. So maybe if you didn't get quite into it in 94, maybe that was kind of like, oh, this is like we're really dominant in women's soccer. So I think a lot of people got into that. And then MLS has kind of come up behind that groundswell and created soccer fans and different soccer cultures. One of my favorite things about our lives is we've gotten to travel around through soccer, through supporting and through refereeing, and seeing the different cultures that develop around like the DC United community and the Chicago Fire community and Sporting KC and Portland Timbers and different, every culture, every city has a different culture to it. And then, of course, you have to mention American Outlaws, which is this national supporter group that started in 2007, and they have done so much to organize U.S. soccer supporters because they give them a method of contacting each other and getting together at bars. And it's one thing if I'm a soccer fan, but I think of them all alone, which was my experience. I thought, well, I'm a crazy fan and I travel all over, but who do I have to hang out with in Des Moines, Iowa? When American Outlaws started, I contacted them in early 2008 and started the chapter here in Des Moines, and it never crossed my mind that we would be where we are today, just 6 years later. I mean, we have over 150 members just in Des Moines. There's a chapter in Iowa City, a chapter in Cedar Rapids, one in Quad Cities. It's just, it allows us to, us as fans, to communicate with each other and kind of becomes a game of almost one-upsmanship. Like, so we traveled to games, and really, I think there weren't too many people that traveled, maybe a handful of people that traveled from Iowa in previous World Cups. And now I have 8 friends that are coming with us to the World Cup in Brazil. So it becomes a kind of contagion that's spreading across the United States.
Absolutely. And what I hear you saying is seeing those teams in person and seeing them when they're your team, that really helps to spark the interest, I'm sure. And you'll be, as we say, traveling to Brazil to see some of the games. Will you be seeing the U.S. play, do you know?
So we have tickets to the first 4 U.S. matches, and then we'll stay. Hopefully the U.S. will advance past that. But we plan to follow the U.S. through, and then we have tickets to Cameroon versus Croatia. We try to, if there's a ticket available in a city that we're going to be in, we try to go and see, some other cultures and get that kind of experience.
So how spread out are the venues? How much will you be traveling once you're there?
So when we look at the map of Brazil, it doesn't look too bad because we're mostly in the northern region for the U.S. team. So, Recife, which Americans, I think, pronounce Recife, and Natal are very close to each other. And then Manaus, it didn't look that far. And then somebody overlaid a map of the United States over Brazil. And the distance between Natal and Manaus is like the difference between New Jersey and North Dakota. So and that's just one dimension of travel. So they're very spread out. It's a huge country, and there's not train service like there is in Europe or Asia. So it's a lot of flying. It's not the cheapest World Cup to go to.
No, I don't imagine, and that's after the plane tickets to get there too.
Right.
Well, what are the prospects for the U.S. team? How do they look this year?
So of course, I'm an ultra fan for the United States. I would never bet against them. But in all honesty, I came from the German soccer team when Jurgen Klinsmann was a player for Germany, and I have been a fan for decades. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing him take on Ghana. I think we're going to beat Ghana. I'm just going to come out and say that. Like I don't just want to beat Ghana. I want to destroy them as retribution for the past 2 cycles where they knocked us out of the 2 previous World Cups.
Smoking like a true super fan.
Yes. And then Portugal. I was in the stadium when we beat Portugal in 2002, and it was one of the best game experiences of my life. I talk about in my book my husband grabbing me and saying, we scored in the 3rd minute, and he said, this is going to be the longest 87 minutes of my life. And so I think, if we can beat Portugal, tie Portugal, that's all we need. And then hopefully, you know, of course, I still have a soft spot for Germany. But if we need to beat them, I think that we can beat them. I bet you there's nothing that Jurgen Klinsmann wants more than to beat his former team.
Well, good luck to the U.S. team and good luck to you. Safe travels, Tawny Keith. Thank you for being on the program today.
Thank you so much.
Tawny Keith is author of Passionate Soccer Love. She's a soccer fan, a writer, and a Des Moines resident. She'll be traveling to Brazil to see the World Cup tournament that has begun, has been underway, and is in day two now.